Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're our God. You're an awesome God. We thank you for your grace and mercy upon us, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing to us. And I praise you, Lord, that your protection from the blood of Jesus is all about us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I decree and declare right now that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I cast down all vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that God's anointing that destroys every yoke of bondages in our lives. And I pray that you would equip every one of us with strength and wisdom and discernment, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would all be strong in this spiritual warfare battle that we're in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to spend time in your presence through prayer and worshiping you. And we thank you, Lord, for giving every one of us this weapon of prayer to fight against the enemy. It's a weapon that's more powerful than anything in the universe, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, that we all would pray without ceasing and with all prayer and supplication. Help us, Lord, to put on that whole armor of God so that we might fight and guard our lives against the attacks of the evil one. Help us to guard our loins with the belt of truth so that we might protect against the lies and deceptions of the devil. Help us, Lord Jesus, to put on that breastplate of righteousness and to protect our hearts from any temptation that would come our way. And I pray, Lord, that we would all put on that preparedness of the gospel of peace for our shoe so that we could take it to the life of your word, wherever you want us to take it, Lord. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we might take the shield of faith to extinguish all the darts and threats that are hurled at each one of us by the enemy. And we put on the helmet of salvation to cover our minds, our thoughts, our imagination, and to remind us that we are children of God and that we are forgiven. We're free and we're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we take up that sword of the Spirit. That's the great and mighty sword, which is the word of God. The one that's an offensive weapon given to us for battle. And we praise you for it, that we weld that word and strike at the enemy and kill the enemy and defeat the enemy every time he comes up and shows his nasty head. And I pray, Lord, that we won't try to fight and wrestle in our own strength, but to commit everything that comes up against us into your hands, Lord, because we know that we can't do anything. But with you, Lord, we can do it all. And we praise you, Father, and we cast all our burdens to you, Lord. For you do sustain us in everything, glory to God. And I pray, Lord, that you surround every one of us with your wall of fire and that your pillar of fire be seen wherever we lay our heads tonight, that the enemy would look and say, we can't go there. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that you have placed in each one of us that desire to pray and to battle for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. And I thank you, Lord, for glorifying everything that is of you tonight. And I ask, Lord, that everyone here is blessed and led by your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're going to do tonight. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
Obi has a testimony, but he's going to bed. So he's can he do it now? Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. You want to give your testimony?
Let me hold it some time.
Okay.
So, so the So, mom plays the guitar, I play the drum, and dad plays the piano, so the piano stopped working, so we kept laying hands on it, playing for it, like this. We kept laying hands on it, and it still wasn't working, so we laid hands on it last night. And it wasn't working.
Does it work now?
Nope.
Yes, it does. It just wasn't plugged in when last time you tried.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for answering his prayers that the piano now works.
If anyone couldn't understand, it wasn't working for a few weeks. It's an electric keyboard. And we were praying a couple different, well, not a lot, but we prayed a couple different times and kept trying to turn it on and it wouldn't turn on. And we just say, thank you, Lord, it's going to turn on. And I told Obi recently, I said, come on, we're going to lay hands on this and we're going to command it to start. And so we did, and it didn't start. So we just kept saying, Lord, I don't receive that.
Yeah.
This is going to start. And we just kept on. And after a couple minutes, it just started. So, hey, Marcia.
Yeah, but Marcia realized it wasn't plugged in.
No. It's plugged in the line, but the last time you said it wasn't plugged in. But that was not the problem.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer for these kids.
Thanks, Obi. That was a great testimony.
That's a great testimony, Obadiah Shatha. Obadiah Lectikabo. All right, anyone else got a prayer? Anybody got a testimony? Anybody got a praise report? Yeah, Pat.
You're moving too fast, Michael.
Okay.
I got a prayer request. I'm finishing up a job right now, the job in New Jersey, probably another couple of weeks. And the superintendent, the other superintendent that's over there with me, he was on the night shift on this particular job. And so they shut the night shift portion of it down because everything is completing, and put him over on day shift with me. And I got to talking with him, and he's a Christian, and which I wasn't aware of. I don't remember how I broke the ice or whatever, but we started to, mention something about that I wasn't taking the vaccine, that I didn't know where I was going next, if, you know, maybe unemployment or out the door or something, because I wasn't taking the vaccine, and hence that brought up the conversation. He wasn't either, and he is actually retiring. But I got to talking to him a very, very good conversation related to the Lord and the scripture, and but anyway, it doesn't matter. His wife is, he mentioned that she is sick. He said she has Hodgkin's, that she's been diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease or something like that. And so I've been talking to him about healing, and, you know, what the Lord is has done for us, etc. So I'm just asking for prayer for him. His name is Milton, and his wife is named Carol. And one of the reasons he keeps saying that he's retiring is, you know, he wants to spend some time with his wife. So he So anyway, I'm just praying. I would like us to just agree in prayer that he would follow through, and that God would open up his eyes and ears to the word, on healing, on that the benefits of healing are his now. Just to pray for his wife that she can catch the spirit of the word and lock onto the scriptures that apply to her situation, namely for healing and trusting the Lord through faith, etc. I was thinking about giving him the book on our healing, the one that we have on God's Vaccine. But I was, I'm trying to figure out which one I would like to give him, you know, whether it might be Sovereign God or Real Good News or what.
Well, I can tell you, a good one is Faith for All Things. It has great testimonies in there also.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of give him a parting gift type of thing and trust the Lord. But anyway, again, his name is Milton. His wife's name is Carol. And so, Father, we just thank you for the work that you have done in him. I know that in his wife, especially. As I was thinking about it, I know that there's a certain amount of reluctance or resignation with the condition that we may be facing that tends to set in, and there's a tendency to want to just settle with what we got and resign ourselves to that situation. But Lord, I stand against that tendency right now in Milton and also in his wife. I just ask, Lord, that you would put a spirit of desire, a spirit of excitement. Lord, I'm in your word and in your truth. Lord, just open up their eyes and just grant them repentance to this portion of your word and whatever other part they need. Obviously, I can see her need is for healing right now and to lock onto to you and your word in that way. And so, Lord, I just pray for Carol. I bind any spirit of unbelief, any spirit of religious spirit. I bind that spirit and cast it down. And the same in Milton, that you would, again, open up their eyes, open up their heart for a real desire to know the reality of your healing word. Father, I thank you for drawing them. I'm just impressed to pray that with such a work that you have done in them, of opening up their eyes, showing them the facade of the apostate system, pushing Milt to really search the word instead of depending upon what he's seeing through the various different religions. You've done a tremendous work of opening up eyes there, Lord, and it's hard for me to believe that you would want to invest that much time and effort in opening up eyes and bringing people into a like mind, that you would be willing to let them go. I don't believe you are. I believe that every person right now that you're bringing into the awareness of your word and of your life, that you want the full benefits of your word operating within them. And so I claim that for Milton. I claim it for his wife, Carol. And I just pray that you would stir them to seek your word, Lord. Stir them, fill them with your spirit, Lord, and draw them into the truth and into your kingdom full force. And we thank you for it. I bind any spirit that would try to detour that action, detour that work in the name of Jesus. I bind those spirits right now. I command they be put down, put under our feet in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your authority, your power, your word working in us. Lord, we are thankful that those that come to you, no one is able to remove us from your hand. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise you for the work that you're doing in them. Lord, just lead our conversations in what little time we have left in our employment together, but and guide our conversations. And Lord, would you give me wisdom to select the right book, or just to give him whatever he needs for his particular situation now. We thank you, Lord, that what he really needs is you. And we thank you that you are able to open up the eyes of the blind and open and unstop the ears of the deaf. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We just ask you for your grace in his life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe the Lord wants you to go to him and tell him to look up Mark 11:23-24 and show him where it says in there, and ask him, said, if you will do this, God will do this. You tell him that if he would go and do what the word says and command that spirit of Hodgkin's off of her, that she'll be healed. And she'll be healed. And that'll turn that whole family around. And I thank you, Father, that that's what he's going to do. That he will go home and he'll command that Hodgkin. He'll get mad at that Hodgkin's disease on his wife and cast it off of it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. And I believe it, Lord. I believe it with him. I put my faith with him and his wife and Pat. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be done for Carol in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Everybody believe that with me? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's going to be done. Amen. All right, Malcolm.
Thank you. I'm going to just pray too. Lord, I thank you so much that you've put Milton in touch with Pat, and we all know that that was for a reason, and I just thank you for working vitally in Milton's heart, and as well as is it Carol or Carolyn? In her heart.
Yes, Carol.
Carol.
Carol. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for this work you're doing in them right now, preparing their hearts for to be open to you. We stand against any religious spirits that would try to block this, and any other spirits that are think they can hold her. We forbid their operation, and we cancel whatever efforts they're going to put forth to try to stop this healing. And I just want to pray again. I like to do this a lot. Psalms 43, Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead Milton. Let them lead Carol. Let that light bring them to your holy hill and to your tabernacles. Thank you for all the rejoicing that's going to follow. And thank you for the influence they're going to have on people around them. I believe this is God ordained. Just thank you so much for orchestrating all these things by the mighty power of your spirit. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I wanted to bring up something that is kind of weighing on me. My dad's failing really pretty quickly, and is sleeping almost all the time. And he does eat some, but he's losing weight so fast. He's incredibly malnourished. So for one thing, I'd like prayer for myself that I would, I have this question in my mind is, can you trust me? Can you trust your father with me? In other words, God asking me if I can trust. Actually, I'm not even concerned about my dad's standing with God or his salvation. He loves the Lord, and he, even if it's extremely difficult, he'll try to get down and kneel to pray every night and morning. So anyway, he's I had been praying for something different, and that is that he would see that the error of this denominational stuff. I don't know that that's I don't think it's necessary, but that's just my prayer, and I really want to stick with that. But right now his mind isn't at a point where he can really grasp much of anything, even where he's at. So I think for a lot of people that go through this, I think it's just a matter of trusting God. So maybe I'll leave it at that. If you want, you can take it away there, Michael.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what you want, you know, what you want to do about your dad. Do you want us to pray for his healing?
I want to see him. Well, what I want to see is, yeah, healing, and brought back to a point where he'll, because he continues, while he was still with it, he's still very concerned about the fact that I left the denomination. It really weighs on him very heavily, and he's prayed endlessly about me coming back to the denomination. So, I've never been able to help him understand that yet, because Lord just hasn't opened his heart on that point.
Yeah. Well, your prayer needs to be to break that power of religiosity off of it. That religious spirit got him blinded. And that's what you need to be focusing your attention on, is just breaking the power of that
religious
spirit off of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that and God will do it. And we'll do it with you.
The thing is, God, you bet your boots, we're going to see some mighty miracles. I mean, I don't want to put everything into the future.
I can tell you, we're seeing miracles right now. We're seeing miracles right now. We've had one over the weekend. Not one, but many. So, you know, his word is true for today.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to wait for the latter rain and for the man-child
amen, brother.
I mean, this is the time to...
Yes.
to grow up.
So, amen.
You know, what weighs on me is I'm the only one in the family that's
the only one needs you.
Yeah.
You're the only one that needs you. You got more power than all of them combined. You got more power
than all
of them combined. And all you
I just keep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so my sister is the one back there kind of taking care of things, and she's texting out all this detail about how bad things are getting, and it looks like this, it looks like that, and it's just, you know, it's easy to read these things and just get sucked into that mentality. Well, it looks like gloom and doom, and let's get ready for the funeral, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, and I don't want to... I don't want to be flippant about this, what I'm going to say, but I think there's a reason why Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Because I think he's talking about people who are kind of living there. I don't want to live there.
No.
I want to be about the kingdom of God. And so anyway, thank you all for praying for me.
Well, listen, Malcolm, you have
household
salvation. Your dad is part of your house. You can
right.
pray him in. You can pray your mama in. You can pray your brothers and sisters in. You can pray your household in. And all you have to do is break that power off of them and start commanding them to come into the kingdom. Break off Satan off of their head right now. Just break the power of Satan off of all of their heads right now and say, Lord, I thank you that you are bringing them in, whether they like it or not, but they'll like it. I guarantee you. It's a whole lot better than the alternative. I guarantee you. Thank you, Father.
let me do a little bit of that right now. I won't be quite so violent as I might be in private.
Well, you need to get mad because that's Satan over him. That's Satan over him. You need to get mad at Satan and get him out of there. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay, Lord, here goes just a little bit here. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke. I bind all the religious spirits off all of my family members. I won't name them here just in case they're listening.
No. We just praise God they are listening.
There you go. So I bind all those religious spirits. I won't even name them because that'll get too specific. Each one, I bind each one off of them and that are blinding them, that are holding them back, that are keeping them stuck. And to keeping them not in the best in your kingdom, Lord, keeping them just bound up. I just break those bonds. I rebuke them, and I just break all that, those religious spirits off each one of them, and the children, and my nieces, nephews, everybody. I break all those bonds off of them, and Lord, I thank you. You're doing that right now. You're orchestrating all this. Going to be a testimony, your name, and Lord, I ask you, keep me in your promises. Help me to see what is not and to not spend time with what is. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe it with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. It is broken right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, David. Go ahead, bro.
Wonderful prayers. Wonderful prayers. I'm not sure if Malcolm saw it, but Pat, thank you for you received the prayer you gave him, Malcolm, because he had to put that in the chat. You know what? I read recently in a union paper I got home because I'm in the union, and I don't usually read that stuff. I opened it up the other day, and the post office is in negotiations with the Biden administration to push the mandated vaccine on the post office. So every postal employee is going to be have to have the vaccine, or if they don't get the vaccine, they're going to have to get tested weekly. And they're in negotiation with the union on that right now. So when somebody, I think it was Pat, mentioned COVID and his situation where he's at, that we're being faced with the same thing too here shortly. So I wanted to bring that up. I'm not sure how to pray that down, or if we're going to pray it down, or if it's God's will. So I just want to know how this is going. And I do want to have a praise report that, my gosh, I went through 2 weeks of terrible time at work with a machine I've been working on that was driving me nuts. Me and even my tech support were kind of scratching our heads on it. Yes, we succeeded today. I got it down. I says, Lord, I'm really getting tired of this. It's really beating me up. And it was just a servo motor. I could not get to function correctly. And I had went all everything possible I could look at and possibly replace that might be having it and analyze it and not seeing anything what we hadn't touched already. So I'm going back through the list again today, and I grabbed what was a controller and put that in. And it actually was my servo controller. I'd got a defective one from what we call as our stock room. It's a national stock room. I had to have it shipped in to get it, and that was defective on arrival, and it gave me the same symptoms as the one I took out. So I did realize that I was dealing with still a bad part, but thinking I had something else to work with. So when I got the new one in today, got it programmed, it took right off and worked. And I thought, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. before it took off, I said, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. And started up, and it took right off, and it started working the way it was supposed to. And I couldn't stop it with my hand anymore. And oh, that was good. And I gave credit to the Lord in my chat with that. We have this technical chat going on. And I gave the Lord credit for that. Called the guy up I was talking to and gave him credit. So, Lord, so it's like, oh, that was nice.
When you cranked that thing up and it worked right, did that 1,000-pound weight on your shoulders lift off?
It was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for taking me to get me out of this. It was daily. It's like, I gotta go fix something I don't understand. It wasn't following any kind of rules. So yeah, it was nice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We got that vaccine mandate. Post office is negotiating with the Biden administration on that, but they're gonna follow that. Post office is running like the world. They do. They think like the world. And so is our union. They're very, all liberal. So I'm thinking that's coming soon to where I work. So.
Well, I wouldn't even agree to the tests, because the tests also have poison on them.
Right, right. We'll see how it goes. I want to be that kind of person that's not difficult on this, even though I have my very strong stance on it. I've said it over and over. I guess when it comes down to it, I'll retire too. Didn't want to retire this soon, but I will, if I have to. But anyways, that's just
well, it's, that. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. So anyways, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your strength in these things. Pull us through these trials, and the world, it's nothing that you haven't already planned out in our lives, and you know where we're going to go, and we're just looking for you to guide us in all these ways, whatever it is you want for our lives and how we're going to work this out in the world. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I will say this, that the Lord has told us that this is Him doing it. So. He's cleaning the house. Go ahead, Rion and Claire.
I just wanted to share that when we were praying for Malcolm, or when he was actually rebuking, sorry, there's an airplane. There's not much I can do about it. Just hang on.
It's not okay, interfering. You're loud enough. You can do it.
So.
I finally got it back at her. I finally did.
It's 1-1, Michael. It's 1-1.
Okay.
when we were praying, the Lord gave me a vision for Malcolm, and what I saw was, especially when you were praying for your nieces and nephews, Malcolm, I saw these brown ropes being severed with fire from sword, like the fire coming out of the sword. So I want to encourage you, my precious brother, that you should not take 1 minute of these attacks and just keep on rebuking, because every time you do, you're just breaking those bonds, those religious bonds. And I'm standing in faith with you, and I'm praying with you.
Amen, as we all are. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sword. It's throwing that fire out there and cutting those binds off of them. All right. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. I like your story, Dave. I was listening pretty intently. Believe it or not, I used to work for a union shop, too. It was a closed house. It was when I was in food manufacturing, and I was actually a union steward too. Now, I'm gonna be honest, I'm not much of a union guy. It wasn't for me. It was just different. But I'll say this, if this brings any comfort at all. I know we were going through contract negotiations, and you know how unions can be real heavily, you know, Democrats really kind of get in with the unions. And so the unions usually tank with their money. Man, I've seen the whole union shop go against it, go against the liberalism, go against all that stuff. I watched them get fed up, but, you know, I'm not saying I know what's going to happen in the situation, but, you know, it's definitely happened all over the world in every industry. But the whole saying, but God, you know, so I feel pretty good about it. Anyways, but moving on, what I really want to say, one, I want to say a prayer. My cousin, I have an older cousin in Owensboro, Kentucky, where I'm from, and I just found out that his wife's got some type of cancer, and she's a nurse, and I don't really know much about it. I didn't ask questions. I didn't really want too much details. I don't know, took the jab. I don't know nothing, but I just want to pray that, I do believe they're Christians. They go to a church. I don't know where they're, what level they're at. I don't know. Me and him used to be really close. We used to build race cars together because he's a big-time racer. Loves to race. And I just like being around him and learning, because that's something I'm not very strong on, is, you know, working on vehicles. So I just wanted to see, learn from him. Anyways, I'm going to say a prayer for her because, you know, they still have young kids. And apparently they're thinking that it got into her lymph nodes or something. So I'm just going to say a prayer. And I'm going to believe that that they will find the faith and hang on to it. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you're with us. I thank you, Lord, in this situation, Lord, that you're drawing them, Father. Your word says, draw us, and we'll run not unto thee. We'll run unto thee. Father, and I ask you, Lord, Father, they just pray that during the prayer of importunity, Father, you just grant them the prayer of faith, too. You build them up on that, Lord. Either way, we know you'll hear. The Lord, how can we know a situation like this they're going into? The Lord, you do. You know them. And I thank you that faith is on them, Father. That you give a measure of your faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And anyways, and then also I want to give a little testimony. I was, I think it was Monday, maybe Monday. I was at work, and my mother called me, and I don't really call her. Ever since we had that conversation here, I just do my thing. She called me, and I guess she's really in the moment, you know, wanting me to find her a way home. And I said, nah, nah. But she's like, get me home. I need, you know, I can't do it here. I can't stand it. And I could tell that she was really being afflicted. And then it got to the point where, man, she started screaming and cussing at me. Just, oh, man, everything under the book. And I'm sitting there like, good night, man. And I'm just listening. And I'm trying to make sense to her. I'm like, listen, you know, it's not that bad. You know, because it's, you know, I don't want to talk much about it. Boys, I don't want to talk much about it, but you know how David talks about the stupid demons, how they say things that don't make sense? There's a lot of that going on, and it's just craziness, man. And I mean, but it's a constant yelling and screaming and cursing, and I'm just like, and I don't know. Anyways, I just sat there and listened, and I thought to myself, I said, Mom, I love you. I don't know. And then I just felt to do it. I just started praying in tongues audibly. And I just started praying on the phone so she could hear me. And I started giving her one of those, you know, yeah, if I shut up, I kind of get that about every one of them. And I tell you what, man, I heard, bing, phone hung up on me. Man, and I was dealing with some stress for a while. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, listen, demons don't like, they don't want you praying the spirit. They don't want for the spirit to make intercessory prayer, because he knows what to pray for, and they don't like it. And man, I just did it, and I got off the phone, and I didn't get off the phone, actually. She hung up on me, And I said, man, and I was praying and I was thanking the Lord. And, you know, and I was feeling a little bit beat up, man, because I guess I'm kind of vulnerable in the situation. So I texted Michael and he said prayers to me. And after that, you know, because I didn't say much what situation, I didn't say situation was. I just wanted comfort and peace and the Lord to make a stand and give us measure of faith. That's all.
Amen.
Man, that prayer was said and I really felt it. And I actually felt really hopeful about it too. And some of these things that I've heard, and listen, and if I'm wrong here, if I'm off base, I don't want to sound like slander because I know she's been delivered, okay? I'm just trying to make a point here. Like, I know, like, it's weird because you would think these hurtful things would make you feel like, I guess, maybe rejected or maybe still further away from Christ or maybe not further away from Christ, but would take your faith away. Like, one thing was said to me that was said that she said she wished we were all adopted. And, you know, something like that, like, all that's hurtful. But it doesn't hurt me, and it doesn't hurt Geneva. And I don't know about my brother, but that's the amazing thing about it. And this is not like a sob story. I don't feel sorry for me. I don't. Not at all. Like, honestly, sounds bad. I could care less. I just give it to the Lord. He's got it. He's got it, man. And I'm just going on. And I tell you, what great grace and peace we prayed about. And that's what I was trying to drive home. So I just wanted to give that testimony.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, that his mama is delivered of that garbage that she's been in all of her life. We thank you, Lord, that the chains of bondage are broken right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. She's going to crawl out from under that bed with a smile on her face in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
We can pray for Isaac too, can we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Father, thank you for my brother Isaac and Geneva, and we pray your protection over them, that these demons will not have any effect on them. We thank you, Lord, for letting them be strong. But we know this is a vulnerable place where we have close relatives, especially their mom, coming at us, and it's not her, it's the demons in her. So, Father, we pray your protection, a hedge of protection around all the family members while they go through this trial. Father, thank you for being so kind to us and giving us your grace and your love and helping us to be understanding and compassionate at the same time, not be let the arrow sink in and bounce right off us, and give us that, give Isaac that great bold faith and be able to stand up against this trial, against this enemy, and not let him affect him. But he can come out victorious in this, in the name of Jesus, him and Geneva. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm.
Oh, I guess I was unmuted all this time. Well, fortunately, there's another mute button on this phone. Sorry. Just so it wasn't causing interference. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing with Isaac. Make his face like a flint. Strengthen him, Lord, for the battle. And thank you for what you're doing for his mother. You're hearing his prayers. You're hearing our prayers for her. And for, actually, I just want to pray generally for all the parents of the people here and family members. Lord, just give us, you've already given us the authority. Lord, I just ask that you just keep putting it on our hearts to stand fast regarding our families and not get discouraged over what we see, because some of us have seen a lot, which is not what we're praying for. So, Lord, I thank you for doing that. And, yes, some other – oh, yeah, the post office situation – I was just thinking, David, that you probably thought this too, but the post office has been involved in some pretty bad hanky-panky around the election and all kinds of things. If it's a mandate, I don't know. I mean, that's a mandate's different from what from people just voluntarily taking poison, but I think Michael already said, you know, said something along that line. But Lord, I just pray that you will protect your people in the postal system, U.S. postal system. If this is mandated for those employees, you will protect each one, and you will, even if they make the mistake of getting the shot to keep their job because they don't know how bad this stuff really is, Lord, I just pray you protect them, get them and get somebody in touch with them that can help them learn to walk by faith and walk in your divine health. Lord, I just pray for your elect among them, Lord, and we know there are many that either they're coming into your kingdom or they're or will be your elect. So thank you for doing that. The other thing I wanted to mention was I'm trying to get back to Michigan, David, a little south of you there, but I'm trying to get back there to help take care of my dad and whatnot. But I have a lot of things that are things that I, you know, for preparing for winter here, we've got wood to get in and all kinds of things, and it's a little bit overwhelming. So I don't want to be driven by either, of course, not fear, but I don't want to be driven by circumstances unless God's in it to skip a bunch of steps here that I need to do to keep my wife surviving while I'm gone. We're off the grid, so it's a little more complicated. If I'm not here in the winter, it's there's quite a bit more work to do to keep power and everything going. So it's coming as quite a shock to me. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're in charge of all this situation. We've already prayed about my dad, and that you're just gonna do what you do best. Thank you so much that I don't have to worry about a thing, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Malcolm, you know that they're being switched over to this free energy now.
But, yeah. I don't want to assume when all this transpires. For one thing,
it's doing it right now. I think we're already on.
For one thing, we're off the grid far enough so that to dig a trench to our house to get power here would be a major undertaking.
You won't need it.
We'd have to. Well, can they transmit the power? I mean, if it's a grid situation.
Well, as soon as they get it all fixed up, they're going to use the grid right now, but that's just a very short time they're going to use it. And then it'll be. I've seen electric motorboats run without wires to them. It was all remote, and it was running by its own. The batteries were taken out of it, and they ran that thing all over a pond.
Wow.
Tesla had a car that he ran for 2 weeks without doing anything to it. He had it on that free electricity. So they've got it. It's just a matter of getting turned over into it. And you'll have it up there too.
Well, I just want to get back from Michigan to rig all that up.
There's no rigging. All you have to do is turn it on. Period.
All right.
Anyway, there's something else I want to say. Pat. When you can tell Milton, ask him this and say, what would you do if somebody came into Carol and started smacking her around? You know, would you get a little bit irate? And say, yeah, he would. And say, well, get irate at that Hodgkin's spirit that's on her and command that thing. Don't go up there and mealy-mouth it, because you're not trying to make friends with it. You want that thing off of it. And just tell him in that kind of vein, And because most people in apostate religion want to go up there and play patty cakes with the devil, when in fact, all they need to do is go in there and bust him out right quick and get on with it, you know. And that's the vein that I would go to. I'm going to tell you a little story. I've told the local here about it. Lester Summerall, I don't know if any of you know who that was. Lester Summerall was in Central America, and he came across this witch doctor. And this witch doctor had a concoction of in a cup of blood and liquor. And he was stirring it around, and he was doing his incantations and all of that stuff. And he had a demon-possessed frog there, and he poured that stuff down that frog, on that frog, and he upped the frog and drank the liquid out of it. And he was down there on his knees doing that, and Lester Summerall went up behind him and slapped him on the side of the head and said, "Come out in the name of Jesus." And the guy fell thump on the floor. And when he fell on the floor, he came up. Summerall led him to the Lord. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lester Summerall went back to his hotel room, or down there in Central America where it was. And those hotel rooms, just not like the Hilton. It's just a bed, a light, and a window. That's it. And he got in the bed, pulled the covers off. All of a sudden, a black cloud, dark cloud, came into his room. It was cold. And the curtain stood out, fluttered like this. And the bed started jumping around like this. The bed was flopping around just like this. And it flopped out into the middle of the floor. And Summerall rose that bed. He said, "Devil, I cast you out once today. I can do it again. Now get out of here in the name of Jesus." Out it went. And he got up. He looked around. He said, "Wait a minute, devil, get back in here in the name of Jesus." And when the curtains went to fluttering and the cloud came back in, and the bed went to flopping again, and he said, "Devil, when I came in this room, that bed was over next to the wall. Get the bed back where it came from in Jesus' name." The bed went back flopping to the bed, to the wall. He said, "Now get out of here." And out the window he went, the cloud left, the curtains came down, and everything was okay. That, folks, is the authority that God has given each and every one of us. All we need to understand is that it ain't us, it's God working through us. That's what it is. It's God working through us. And we just have to trust God to believe that the power of God is available to us at any and every time that we need it. Glory to God. And that's the kind of thing that he wants us to do. He wants us to make a fool out of the devil, because he took his armor away from him when he went to the cross and went down there and took the keys. Glory to God. So get fired up for Jesus and get that devil on the run, because we're going to need it in the days to come. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'd love to do that too. Whew, I need a drink. Go ahead, Pat.
I agree, 100%. And that's
show what, some emotion, Pat. Show some emotion, brother. I just want to see some emotion.
This is emotion.
Okay, go for it.
It don't get much better than this yet.
Okay, brother, I got you.
That's why I posted that I've been... It's like that verse has been coming back to me more and more. And that is that Jesus is right now sitting at the right hand of God, because he's performed everything necessary for us to accomplish what needs to happen. And what needs to happen is that he's waiting until his enemies are put under his feet. So that means that has something to do with us, with everyone that believes that is a disciple. that there's a purpose, there's something here that we have to do that connects with that, putting, you know, those enemies under the Lord's feet, under the Lord's feet, which David teaches is us, the feet of the body. And so that's what I think about this, COVID vaccine and this mandate. To what degree are we, you know, there's a certain amount of question here. I know that without, say, a clear direction or a clear thought, there's always the hesitation, that, and in that hesitation or indecision or unknowing, there's always passivity. You're always waiting for the next step. And so I know that the Lord is using this whole mandate situation, but is he using it to raise up within us that holy resistance to put those enemies under his feet? Or, you know, what, it's like I posted in the chat, is the latter rain anointing waiting for us, or are we waiting for the latter rain? What's happening here? Are we supposed to be rising to the occasion here, to this situation? And I'm taking your story from Lester. He definitely stood up, rose up to the occasion. But I'm just wondering, I don't know if I'm wondering, I guess I'm really just seeing that this whole situation, it has been created. I don't think it's for the sole purpose that God just wants to kill people. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't, you know, that he, certainly many people are going to die because of this whole situation, because of unbelief, because of not being able to grasp the truth and the reality and find a resting place in God's word as the only thing that's going to save us through this process. Many people will die for what they believe, or shall we say what they don't believe. But that in and of itself, I don't think is God's, I can't think that that's God's purpose. If God wanted to wipe people out, he could send a flood and knock it out in one fell swoop and be done with it, and, you know, wipe his hands and keep on moving to the next thing. I think God is using this to raise up that holy resistance, whatever that means, whatever that means. When Jesus stood up against he came to present the gospel. He came to take the legs out from underneath Satan in the lives of people, and he wasn't very shy in relating to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious systems. He dealt with that in the appropriate way, and he dealt with people in the appropriate way. But there's a certain amount of indecision or unknowing within me that of where to stand on this thing, because I don't think that I don't feel that the Lord wants me to cow down and accept this mandate. Now, I'm not going to go down to the store and buy a gun and you know, march on Washington type of thing. But there's got to be something that God wants me to rise up to.
Can I tell you?
Absolutely.
Okay. First of all, the Lord is doing this to put the attention on him. When you've got people in the Christian circles that are taking the vaccine, and the things that we've seen is everyone that takes the vaccine is going to die. That's come out in the last couple of days. Everyone is taking the vaccine. It's going to die, not just the 90%, but everyone. Okay, when they find this out and people start dying, and the preachers are standing up in the pulpit, you know, saying, take the vaccine. Do what the government says. Be obedient when they're not obedient. What do you think those people are going to do when their relatives start falling dead and they look to that pastor? You told us to take the thing. You're supposed to be a man of God, and you're not showing any power from on high at all. They're going to be looking for people like us right here. They're going to be looking for us. And God is going to have us out there praying for each one of them and bringing, that's the only cure. That's going to be the only cure. God has already told us he is the only cure for this vaccination. And if he's the only cure, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a revival. It's going to be a revival. I guarantee it will be. That we have to be ready for it. That's why he's doing these things with us. That's a good question, Pat, and I'm so glad you asked it. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that when this happens, God's going to populate heaven. It's going to, and the preachers that have been preaching this vaccine, they're going to have to run and hide. They're going to have to run and hide. There was something else I was going to say, but I don't guess it was very important. I remember. Yeah, they can run. At some point in time, they're going to have to either repent or die themselves. All right. I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Are y'all feeling the sun yet, Rehan?
I was thinking of something as you were saying that, Michael. I was reading somewhere in Kings yesterday morning about, I think it was Jehu was one of the kings who called all the Baal worshippers into the Baal temple, saying, "Come, let's do an offering to Baal." And he brought all of them in there, like I don't know how many, 400 or what. And they were all in there, and he said, "All right, we're gonna do the burnt offering to Baal." And he said, "But before we do that, just make sure that there's no Jehovah worshippers here. You all must get out. You all must leave. Like, make sure that you're not there, right? We've got to separate them." And so they did that, and then everybody's in there. All the priests and all of them were in there, and then he put the guards around it, and they said, as soon as they did the burnt offering for Baal, they said, not a single person is going to leave there. And they killed everybody, all of them. Now, I'm guessing that's a big percentage of the population at that point, because this is far down. I mean, this is after the days of Ahab, and there's been many of those kings that, and he did that which was not right in the eyes of the Lord. There couldn't have been too many of the that have gone out there that says, okay, no, I'm a Jehovah worship, I'm going to leave. And I wonder if it's not the same sort of situation that we're sitting at now. It just seems that they're saying, all right, all of you, make sure that all of you Baal worshippers come in. This is what the king is saying. And there's an opportunity that says those of us who trust in the Lord, you leave. You don't have any part of this. Make sure you're outside before this house falls in, you know, before Samson pulls down that temple as well, and everybody perishes with it.
Amen. Well, I believe it's going to be something like that. But here's the kicker, though, the difference in the New Testament. There's going to be some that's going to repent that's inside the church that's taking the COVID, and they'll be healed. They'll be healed, and they'll turn right around and do the same thing we're doing.
Yeah, so take that parallel. There's going to be an opportunity. There's going to be a call that says, make the decision and get out, right?
Yeah. Amen. They're going to have a chance to repent. And once they repent, they're open to healing. that little monster that's inside of it, that they injected inside of it, it's going to be dead. It's going to die. It's gone. Okay, Nick. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, actually, I have a prayer request. I'm going down to my grandma's tomorrow, and they're not saved. And I just wanted to ask for prayers in case if I can give them a testimony about the Lord. So,
all right, Lord, we just break the power of Satan off for his grandmother and grandfather right now in the name of Jesus. We break that religious spirit off of them, whatever it is. It makes no difference, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you grant repentance to them and bring them in. Draw them in, Lord, in Jesus' name. We declare and decree right now that Nick's grandmother and grandfather is in the kingdom because he has household salvation. And we praise you, Father, that he's going to go down there and preach the gospel to them, and they're going to repent. Maybe not at that time, but we're going to believe at that time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. How about that, Nick? That's going to work, ain't it, brother?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's pray. Can we pray protection on Nick too and Benita? In the name of Father, we pray again your protection over them. Any religious spirits, we cast them down now. We bind them. We don't allow any kind of arrows penetrate either one of them. And no contentious environment is brought up. And if there's any kind of evil spirit that wants to attack, you are bound now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We believe it. We believe it. All right. Okay, Malcolm, number three, go ahead.
What was that?
Nothing. I didn't say nothing. You go ahead.
I was busy tapping star six since I'm on the phone. I've got another instance. I can't seem to merge it. I'm using Zoom on a phone so I can see the chat. Anyway. I was going to say, I think respond to what Pat was saying, and that is, I don't want to wait for any anointing to get going in the kingdom.
Oh,
he's not saying that, I'm sure, but I think it's easy to say, well, I guess I'll get healed when the anointing falls, you know, or something like that, and just kind of back off, and so I don't know the timing. But I just want to be in the working of the kingdom now. By the way, I have to say I'm so pumped up tonight. I don't know. It's just a big. Michael, you're so wonderful. I get so excited listening to your story about telling the devil to move the stuff back where it belongs and to get lost.
Yeah.
And don't leave a mess behind.
That's right.
I was watching one of Torben's videos, and this one guy. They're kicking demons out of one lady, and in the process, this other guy, like third down the line from her, he started coughing, and then Torben signaled to I forget his name. I worked with him then in Spokane a little bit, but anyway, he came over, and the guy started, you know, commanding the demons out of this other guy, and he started vomiting right there on the floor. Anyway, I would forbid the demon to do that kind of stuff, but I think we can. What do you mean? I think I can. We can do that. Yeah, we can just tell him to do whatever. But anyway, it was neat to see this guy's testimony after. It was a month later they posted his testimony and how the Lord told him to get down to that meeting and to get delivered of whatever he had. And he was already a believer and everything. So that was pretty cool. Something else I wanted to mention about Michael, about these shots. There's a guy over, I think it was in Germany. I think that was a country, I might be wrong. He got 5 vials from the same lot. So he knows it was all the same lot. And this is kind of unusual that somebody can get that many vials for testing purposes. two of those vials were just straight saline solution. This is all the same lot now. One vial was just graphene oxide only. Just, you know, the little tiny sheets of graphene oxide. And then the other two vials, if I remember correctly, some of you may have already seen this. The other two vials were these nasty little tiny circle things that, and I think that's why they have to have it at minus 70 degrees centigrade before it's injected, because otherwise these little circles will start sending out their little creatures. But those are the bad ones. And they like a graphene oxide to really get going. So some people, the reason I'm saying that is some people may have, if they haven't followed through, they may have only gotten saline. So if that's the case, I'll be like the salespeople. They'll say, I took the shot and look how great I'm doing.
Yeah, but they're still susceptible to COVID.
The vaccine is not a vaccine. Well, nor is it beneficial.
Nope.
And anyway, there's no way, there's nothing about it that's beneficial. Anyway, we all know that.
Yeah. Amen. One other thing, Pat, that I wanted to talk about that I just remembered. You asked about, are we waiting on the man-child, or are we waiting on the anointing? No, we're praying for it to come on and hurry up and get here. That's what we're praying for. We need the wisdom of the man-child right now. We do. Not only that, we need the provisions that the man-child is going to be bringing. I'm going to tell you something. Trump's not going to be the one that brings all this in. It's going to be God. It's going to be God. Listen to the broadcast from Sunday and listen to the one from tomorrow. It's going to be good. Just a little preview there. You send a little money, we might even let give you a video clip of it. I don't know, you know. I'm just kidding. Claire, don't get that look on your, disgusted look on your face. What's the matter with you? Go ahead, Pat. Make me feel bad.
I was doing a little study, kind of an investigation of, I know it kind of culminated last week, couple weeks ago, when I gave that little church history progression type thing. But I've been reading, and let me go back. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned something about that you're looking into taking note of that great cloud of witnesses around us. And then translating that to the thought of history and what God was bringing back out of the dark ages, bringing back into the light. And, you know, one of the aspects was, you know, Martin Luther brought out of the darkness of the dark age, brought out justification by faith and whatever. It went through the John Wesley, that type of scenario to bring out through the holiness movement, an aspect. I think Wesley's general concept was a kind of a second birth or a second awakening or a second work of grace in your life type of thing. And then, of course, in the early 1900s, we had the Azusa Street, the revelation of the baptism of the Spirit, and receiving of the Spirit, etc., which is the power, you know, of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the actual power. Well, I started thinking about the correlation or the application of power and in this last shall we say revelation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving of the Spirit, etc. But I put this back into electronic or electrical vernacular, so to speak, or picture, and Or another, a picture would be a picture of a train that the power, if you look at the power of a train, it's the power of the locomotive thing has a lot of actual force and power behind it, or torque or whatever, that can pull great loads in there and everything. But that power is useless unless you have a track to roll on. And the only way that you can perform work with a massively powerful locomotive is you have to lay the tracks. The tracks have to be down there, and they have to be going to a certain destination. You can have all the power in the world in a locomotive, but if those tracks are going to Detroit, you're not going to get your product to New York City. So, and I equate that the power of the Holy Spirit has to ride on the tracks of the Word of God. And they have to be tracks that are laid towards a particular destination. And every one of these promises that God gives us in His Word, those tracks have to be laid to that destination. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, placing the Holy Spirit directly on those tracks and allowing Him to empower and get us to the destination of where that word, those tracks are leading us, is the full application of that, shall we say. So going back to my story, if you look back in recent history in the last few hundred years, the major revivals that happened in around the world happened in the time of the holiness movement. Well, or shall we say the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, 1800s. Charles Finney walking through cities, and people literally, people were literally would fall under the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he's walking through down a street or something. And this was before the enlightenment, shall we say, or the gift back to the church of bringing out of the dark ages of the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't, Finney never really talked about that much. However, I believe he functioned in a lot. His main focus was the word, the truth, and leading people down a path of that. And so I guess what I'm thinking as of late is that there's got to be, I don't know if it's a bringing about, raising back up of the aspects of the holiness movement and marrying it with the power of the Holy Spirit that we have now to marry those truths together in order to accomplish or be prepared for the revivals that can happen. Now, one thing that I learned, or shall we say the revivals that are coming, they have to be laid upon the firm foundation of the tracks of the Word of God. One of the things I learned when we went through a couple, shall we say, revivals while I was in the Baptist church, we were seeking revival. And shall we just say, they petered out. They lasted for, after the emotion of them was gone, it kind of, everything just went back into normal Christian realm, the normal Christian, you know, process. That's because there were certain truths that we were not believing, and the Holy Spirit came in and he blasted us with a time of grace and repentance and whatever, but the doctrine that we were riding on or resting on would not allow the Holy Spirit to continue on because he didn't have any place to go. It's like if you went over to the light in, you know, the switch on your wall and flip the switch. If you don't have all the internal wiring that's going from that switch up to the light and over to your power source, the power in your closet in the main panel room is going to stay there. It's not going to go anywhere because you don't have the tracks laid over there and the circuitry laid to connect that power up to that light. And we, that's what we didn't have in the Baptist church. I don't want to pick on the Baptist church. We organized religion today, everybody knows I'm preaching to the choir here. Everybody knows that they do not have the proper tracks laid for the power of the Holy Spirit to really do work. So I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe I know I have been reading back to try to glean some of the truths related into this holiness movement, this second work of grace or whatever it is, and marry it in with what the Lord is showing us and teaching us through David's teachings, the salvation progressive and instant and sanctification. I keep going back to that verse in Hebrews 10 that Jesus in the same act completed those that are sanctified, and then went and sat down at the right hand of God until his enemies be made a footstool, until that reality or that truth, I suspect, takes hold within us, and we, and maybe I shouldn't say we, maybe I mean me, that it takes hold in me to create that perfect environment for the Holy Spirit to function and to roll down the tracks of his word. So I'm just, I'll quit. Leave it up to you guys.
Okay, thank you. Not for leaving it up to us. I mean, thank you for your word there. Appreciate it. I want to read what Missy sent me about Merle. She wanted me to read it. So Merle has stones in his pancreas. And they put in some stents to help stones come out. He will have them in there for a few weeks and then have the stents removed. But, in bold, big letters, the doctor put one of the stents too far and can't retrieve it with the equipment at this hospital. Just sound familiar. So he's going to be transferred to another hospital tonight or tomorrow in the city when a bed is available. But, in big letters, they won't be able to do the procedure till Thursday. A doctor talked to him about having the hernia repaired. So, praise the Lord, he's in control. So please pray tonight accordingly. By the way, this is some good information for Merle. His bowels finally did move. Praise the Lord. We know that's a good thing. Praise you, Lord. Okay, Lord, we're thanking you that you're going to use this to bring Merle out of that apostate religion in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that his only option is you. And we thank you for it, Lord. Get him out of them, as Mike Adam calls them, murdering hospitals. in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. But get him to the point to where he cries out to you, Lord, because he knows them doctors are incompetent. They can't do anything because you're the one that's in control, Father. And I thank you for doing this for Merle, bringing him to the point to where he'll cry out to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we believe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody else got a wonderful testimony? Or even just a little one? That's okay. They're all wonderful. I want to know, Nick, how you balancing that Jeep on top of your head like that. Go ahead, Geneva.
I have something kind of funny, but now here we go with the pregnancy diaries. But anyways, I have been craving some Skyline chili. I don't know if you all have heard of it, but in Cincinnati, it's like they're everywhere, Skyline Chili's. It's these little diners that you can go to and get some chili and some Coney dogs, and they are delicious. Anyways, when we moved to Florida, it's like a Ohio thing. So when we moved to Florida, of course, you know, there's none down here. And anyways, that's the one thing I've been craving. I feel like I've been doing good eating fruits and vegetables and things like that and just drinking a bunch of water and stuff. But man, I've wanted some Coney dogs. And I've been talking to Isaac about it forever. Isaac, when he'll send me pictures of Coney dogs and spaghetti, and it makes me jealous. So anyways, he loves to tease me there. But I said, you know, I was like, you know, obviously we're going through all this stuff with my mom and things. And one day I was just like, you know what, Lord, I feel like I've had a lot of faith here lately. I was like, let somebody open a Skyline Chili down here, please. I didn't think anything else about it. Well, like 2 weeks later, I was talking to my sister-in-law and she was like, there's one in Tampa. And I was like, oh, there is? And she was like, yeah, my brother-in-law goes to it all the time. So I was like, you know what? And so I Googled it. One apparently just opened up, not even 45 minutes away from us. And I started jumping up down. I was so excited. I ran here. I told Morgan, I said, we're going to Skyline. Anyways, it's just funny. When we went there, I took pictures of it and everything. I know it's stupid, but I was just so happy to have it. It's kind of comforting in a way. Just like, because where we lived at and stuff, there's one right by our old house. And it was just always a good time when we'd all go there. So it's funny how, like, even the Lord cares about, like, small things, you know, things that we don't, you know, we might think is goofy or whatever. But, I mean, you can have faith for all things. And, you know, I just said the prayer. And I didn't think anything else about it. And then here it is. So, anyways, I was so happy eating my dinner last night.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's a little thing. I'll tell you what, Geneva. You bring your husband and Isaac and Mariana down here when Isaac gets him a deer this year. Bring me some deer meat, and you'll be spitting in that chili you get up there. I guarantee you.
Sounds good.
All right. All right. That's good. Praise God. I like a good bowl of chili myself. Matter of fact, I just made some the other day. Still got a little bit left, and I'm going to try to get to it before David does. All right. Who's next? It's been a good night. It's been a good evening. You want to hear another story? Got an old friend of mine who was in South Africa. Well, it was a few years ago. And he and one of his friends was with him, believer. And they went to this place. It was I don't know what town it was in. I think it was Pretoria, but I'm not sure. So I don't know. But anyway, he said he went to this place. They took him over to pray. This guy wanted to pray for this lady that had been on a walker. for, and her husband was a good guy, and they wanted to go over there and pray for him. So they went over there and prayed. This is Curry Blake, if y'all don't know who I'm talking about. Curry's a good, well, he's a good preacher. He's a good man. He goes around hills, folks, and teaches people how to do it. That's what he does. Anyway, he went up to the house, and the gardener was standing there, and this was a South African guy. And the man came to the door, and they had been invited to their house by them to come over and pray for his wife. And so they went inside, and she was in there cooking with a walker on a stove, and it smelled good. He said it was so good. It smelled so good. But the guy said, she said, I don't have, you know, I wasn't expecting this. She said, he said, don't worry about it. All we want to do is just come in and pray for you. So he did, she did, and God did. And she came off of that walker, and she was walking like she's never walked before. And she went outside to that gardener, and that gardener was watching her walking. And he says, my goodness. And he was not saved. He was a heathen. And his tears started streaming down his face, and he was trying to hide it, you know. And he asked Curry, he said, I've got a lady friend over here. He said, do you mind going over there and praying for her? He said, no. I said, take us over there. He said, and he was outside smoking a cigarette. He threw the cigarette down. They walked over there to her house, and she came out with a cane. And he told them what they were there for, and the gardener stayed outside because he won't smoke a cigarette. Anyway, Curry and them went in there, and they prayed for the lady and took the cane away from her, made her walk. She walked better than she's ever walked in her life. She was completely healed. And she walked outside, and the gardener looked at her and was just amazement in his eye. And he threw his cigarette down. He said, there's another place over here I want to take you. He said, please come with me, and we'll go pray for this bunch too, because I know a lady there that's deaf and dumb. And so they went over there, and he walked inside, and they asked if we couldn't pray for her. And of course, you know, the husband said, yeah, pray for her. And they did, God did, and he did, you know. She was completely healed. And this gardener, this is the point I was getting to. This gardener was so amazed. He'd never seen religion. He called it religion. He said, I'm not interested in religion. I'm not at all religious. And Curry told him, he said, I'm not either, brother. He said, I just believe in Jesus. I just believe in God. I don't believe in all that religiosity myself. And he led him to Christ. And this poor dear fella came to Christ right then. And he was old. He was he was in his 60s. And he came to Christ then. And he was a good witness for Christ after that for God's church. Amen. That's another. That's all you got to do, folks. It's just, that's what God wants. He wants the signs and wonders to follow us. He wants it done. That's what Jesus did. Did he go up there and argue with him or anything? Uh-uh. He went up and said, be healed. What do you want? I want my eyesight. Well, be healed in Jesus' name. Go put some mud in your eyes. Whatever. And they were healed. He didn't argue with them. He didn't do anything but just heal them. And that's all we have to do, because he is backing us up. And he's a good God. And if your life is such that he can use you, you could walk down the street and bump into somebody that needs a healing, and you could get them healed right then and bring them to Christ. You can tell them and say, look, I see the kind of shape you're in. How would you like the Lord to heal you? He'll heal you if you'll come to Jesus. I guarantee you he'll heal you. That's the kind of attitude we ought to have nowadays. Because there's a lot of hurt folks out there. There's a lot of hurt folks out there. And you tell them, Matt, I guarantee you God will back you up. He'll heal them every time. It don't make any difference what it is. It does not make a difference. I don't care if I need a leg grown out. If you believe, you go up there and tell them, hey, look, I'll tell you what, if you come to Jesus, he'll heal you completely. And you'll be able to come out of that wheelchair. I've seen it happen in my life. I know some of y'all have too, if not all of you. I've seen deaf ears. My 13-year-old girl in the middle of a church, for goodness sake, during the time when the preacher says, everybody get up, shake somebody's hand. Well, the first thing this mama did was come running over to me because she knew about me for some kind of way. Anyway, she come on running over to me. She said, would you pray for my daughter? I said, what's the matter with it? She's deaf in her left ear. I said, okay. I said, in the name of Jesus, stuck my finger in her left ear. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit to go from her and her to be healed completely in Jesus' name. And I got right up to her and I said, can you hear me? She said, yeah. Well, I stepped back about 2 feet. And I said, can you hear me now? She said, yeah. And I stepped back about 6 feet back behind her. And I said, can you hear me now? She said, yeah. Mama was going nuts. But it, you know, that's the kind of thing. It was right in the middle of a church and everybody else, nobody else knew about it. Nobody else knew about it, but Mama and the daughter. Praise God. That's all. We don't need to make a show. All we need to do is just do what God said. Amen. And I guarantee you, you'll see results. You'll be able to tell your grandkids about the little baby that somebody called me about when I go up there and pray for. And they had a hole. It was born with a hole in his heart. And they didn't expect the baby to live. This is a young couple, 20 in their early 20s. And I said, somebody wanted me to come up here and pray for your baby. Can I pray for your baby? I said, yes, Lord God, yes, please. These doctors can't do nothing. I said, watch God. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that heart to be healed and that hole to go away. Guess what happened? Just exactly what I prayed. They was able to take that baby home right then, that day. Praise God. That's the power that God has given each and every one of us. It's him that does it. All we got to do is say, we're just standing instead of Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're ambassadors of Christ. Because Christ just goes, he says, watch that boy. Look at him. Glory to God. That boy, bold. Look at this. And that power just goes right through you to the people and brings them to Christ. I was up on the seventh floor of the Children's Hospital in Little Rock. A guy wanted me to come over and pray for this little boy. His mother and dad were Baptist. I'd been to their church. It was about a 12-year-old boy, red-headed boy, cute little boy. And I asked his dad if I could pray for him. He said, yeah. His mama was hesitant. I said, I'm not going to hurry. All I want to do is just go in there and pray for him. She said, okay, go ahead. So I went in there and I prayed for him and I came back out and they have a place for the kids to play when they get out of bed. They can get out of bed and their parents are with them and they go out in this play area and they got toys and all that stuff out there for them. Every one of them bald headed is a terminal patient. And I went in there and started talking to this lady. I said, what's wrong with your child? She said, he's got cancer, terminal cancer. I said, you want me to pray for him? She said, please. And I prayed for that child. And then another mother stepped up, said, would you pray for mine? And then I prayed for hers. And then Nurse Ratchet showed up. Nurse Ratchet says, excuse me, are you on our list? I said, I hope not. I didn't know what the list was. She said, well, you have to be on the list before you can pray for the children. I said, okay. She said, you'll have to leave. I said, okay. But the next mama said, he ain't leaving till he... Every mama in there told that nurse, you go sit down. He's going to pray for my child. He's going to pray for mine. He's going to pray for mine. He's going to pray for mine. I prayed for half a dozen more kids before I left, before Nurse Ratchet was satisfied that I had to leave because of mamas sticking up for Christ. And I believe in my heart that every one of them is healed. I don't know that, but I just believe. That's the kind of thing that God wants us to do. It makes people draw closer to the Lord. It does. It makes people draw closer to the Lord. Another funny one, if you want to hear it. I don't know. Y'all want to hear one more? Okay. Jilly says just one more. Okay. I was at a county fair. And this lady was pushing a wheelchair of her mother right next to where I was. And I stopped him. I said, can I pray for you? I said, what's wrong with you, mama? She was about 108 years old, I guess. If she looked it anyway, she might not have been but 60. But, you know, anyway, she said, well, I said, how long have you been in that wheelchair? She said, I've been here for 7 years or something like that. I said, what's wrong with you, mama? She said, I got this, I got that, da, 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 da. I said, you want me to pray for you and God to heal you? She said, I sure do. I said, I grabbed her by the hands and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of infirmity off of her and I command strength into those legs. Now, mama, get up out of that wheelchair in the name of Jesus. And she came right up, straightened up. I mean, she bounded out of that wheelchair. She came up out of that thing and she was dancing around there just doing the jig, and the daughter was doing a jig and they were both doing the jig. And she started to sit down in that wheelchair. And I said, don't sit back down in that wheelchair. That thing will come right back on you. She said, daughter, get in the wheelchair. I'm going to push you this afternoon. And that's what she did. She pushed her daughter around the county fair that afternoon. I'd see them every now and then. They just a grinning, boy. It was awesome. Glory to God. Oh, Pat, you're going to make Julie mad. Okay, I got one more. Let me thank you just a bit. Oh, we was in North Little Rock. Sometimes back then, I'd go around house to house. I'd have a group of people with me. And we go house to house and down in the poor section of town because they can't afford doctors. We knew it. And we came upon this house with this, we went up to, it had a front porch, a little small front porch. Well, I say small, it was probably 6 foot wide and 10 or 12 foot long. And I walked up to it and there was a screen door there. And I see this lady in there. I said, hey, how you doing? Oh, we doing fine. And I said, and I saw her try to get up. She was having trouble. And she was bent over double. Bless her heart. She was bent over double. And I said, what's wrong with you, mama? She said, I've been to the doctors. I've spent all my money on the doctors. Now, check this out. I'm thinking all the time. And they sent me home, said they couldn't do nothing for me. I said, you want me to pray for you? You want us to pray for you? We had a group of people. You want us to pray for you? She said, oh, yes, that'd be good. And she started walking toward us. And one of the ladies was with us. She was going to get up there and help her. She said, don't put your hands on me. Said, every muscle in my body aches. And so we just let her come on out there. And we prayed for her. And I commanded her back to be healed. We commanded that back to be healed. We commanded her to straighten up in the name of Jesus. And she just jumped up. And I'm telling you, the whole neighborhood, when they did. They went, I mean, it was a party after that. When we left her, she was dancing with her two teenage daughters in the front room. First time she'd ever been able to do that. She was here. We went back to check on her about a month later. And she was still dancing with the daughters in the front room. Praise God forevermore. Oh, that's the God we serve. Glory to God. That is. That's a good God. Anybody got another? Yeah, Claire got a story.
I don't know if I have a story. I just, what I'm noticing, it's more of an observation, is that you didn't get like all crazy like these tele evangelists. I say that tongue in cheek because I've actually never watched one, but like you just had the authority of the Lord with the word. We can cast out demons. We don't have to get ridiculous. We just have to say it, right? Like, and believe it, and then it's done.
Yeah.
When we were traveling on Saturday, you know, the enemy will always try and come against you when you're doing something that the Lord's ordained. And we walked into the airport and Mika she just kind of collapsed a little bit and her knee wouldn't work. So in the middle of the airport, we just laid our hands, all four of us, on her knee and commanded the knee to be healed in the name of Jesus. And she's like, oh, that feels much better. And she started walking, and it wasn't perfect initially, but by the time we boarded the airplane, it was perfect. And we had situations like that with each child.
And then it was the other knee.
And then it was the other knee. And this thing kept on bouncing until we just said, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we just kept on rebuking things. And then the other kid had something that hurt. And then the other kid, you know, and it was like, there was no reason for it because they're healthy. They're energetic. They, you know, they move well. And it was just all these little things. And we didn't have to go crazy. We just had to come into agreement and believe we're in God's will, and so we can pray for these things. And it was just quick and effective, and we had that's how he is. He is perfect, and he is in perfect control of his emotions as well. When I was sliding down that mountain 2 weeks ago with my car, I just felt, had such control, but I can honestly say it wasn't me. It was just Christ in me that had that control. And that's what the Lord wants from us.
Amen.
That's what that self-control is. It's that beautiful faith. And I just thank you so much for sharing, Michael, because it's such a blessing and such an encouragement to just say the word.
Amen. That's all you got to do. Be here. Jesus didn't do any theatrics, did he? He didn't say, like Benny Hinn, and everybody fall out. I don't know if that's witchcraft or not. Jesus just said, be healed. He didn't ask him about generational curses either, did he? He didn't ask anything about, what are you saved? He didn't ask none of that stuff. He just went up and said, be healed. He wanted them free, because once they got free, he knew they would follow him. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I just wanted to also encourage, because I did tell that story about me praying for the woman at work. She's a supervisor, where she hurt her arm trying to lift something or whatever it was. And she was in a sling, and the doctor told her she'd be in that sling for a couple weeks and healing over, because it pulled out the socket or something from her shoulder a little bit. And then I said, well, and she had grew up Catholic, but must have been a weak Catholic face. Her mom was very Catholic, but she's not very anything, but she didn't have any faith at all, you know. But so when I prayed for her and cast and told her to be healed in the name of Jesus and cast that pain out till it went away, and she was kind of okay, yeah. But then I went and prayed privately after that and said, Lord, you know, this woman needs to see your healing. She needs to experience your power in her life so that she comes to you and knows that you're real. And then I know that's what her mom wants. Her mom wants her to come to the Lord, even though she's Catholic. They still think they know about, you know, having a relationship with God. And it wasn't until the next day, and she came in and says, I'm healed, you know, it's all working. So I didn't see instant healing, but I didn't let go of that either. I interceded for her on her behalf.
Amen.
For her faith to have this happen in the Lord, and the Lord honored that. So, you know, beware that you're going to maybe have to keep on pushing until you see it come through. You know.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something first. I want to put out a disclaimer. I'm not anybody, okay? anybody else in this room can do the same thing that we've done in the past. Anybody, everybody in here can do the same thing. All you have to do is get out there and be bold and do it. And you'll see results. You'll be able to sit on your back porch when the time comes and tell your grandchildren about these stories you've seen, you see.
And you can't be double-minded.
Hmm. Yeah, Isaac.
I was, this last weekend, I was reading my Bible, and I was sitting here, I was reading Matthew chapter 6, and this is where he's talking about, he pretty much lays it out for everybody, you know, how to live your life, what to do. And I was thinking, would I believe him if he was sitting right in that chair talking to me? If Jesus was right there talking to me, telling me this, why I would, and hang with me, I'm making a point here. I was thinking, if Jesus was sitting right there and he was telling me this, oh, I would know it's going to happen. I know that's true. If he told me this was going to be done, man, I would know it. But why do I believe that? Why is that? Why would I believe it that if I seen him there and he told me that, why would I believe that more? And I was just trying to really think about it. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, that centurion had that faith, said, just say the word. And Jesus has said the word. He was word made flesh. And God has given us this word. I mean, they literally said the word, and this is the word. And he is not just sitting there. He is here. He is here. It's not Isaac, it's Christ. And that's the same for all you all. And I was just really thinking hard on that. And I was trying to think about why do I need to see, why if I was to see him physically, why would I believe it more? Why don't I need to? Because I believe it, just like that centurion said, say the word. The thing is, he has said the word. And they didn't even have the Bible. Or they may have the Old Testament scrolls and the Torah and whatnot, but they didn't have the New Testament. And we got it. And he has said the word. I don't know. I was just really thinking about it. And to your point and Dave's point, yeah. I mean, come on, man. This is it. I mean, this is, I don't know. He gives us these dreams. We really see it. You know, man, I mean, this, you see people in the world, and if that ain't enough to make you a believer, I don't know what will. But, you know, I just, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like the centurion, just say the word. And I, and he has already said the word. The word has already been said.
Amen. Everything's been taken care of, hasn't it, Isaac? Everything's already been taken care of. All we have to do is stand instead of. Because like you said, who lives inside of us? That's Jesus. That's the power. That's all the power we need right there. And how do we look at Jesus? Well, all I have to do is look in the mirror every morning. I'm seeing Jesus, glory of God. If you don't believe me, ask David. Amen. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, hey, Lana. Hey, Gabrielle. Look at your eyes open here already. Lord of God. Hey, boy. Look out now. Hey, buddy.
My goodness. 3 weeks old.
Oh, yeah. My gracious. Already?
Yep. He's gone from 8.5 pounds to 10 pounds already. The kid is just nonstop. Praise the Lord.
Oh, my goodness. He's going to be a big boy.
Yes, they're all going to be like daddy. I just wanted to share a quick praise report. We've been praying the last couple of days. I ended up in the ER twice over the weekend with really intense pain in my right side. I had talked to my sister-in-law, and unfortunately, accepted a bad report that I possibly have kidney infection because of the placement of the pain. And the sisters and I prayed, and Michael and David prayed, and we rebuked that report, and I repented of it. And I went to the ER for just to get some relief because it's really overwhelming on that pain. And really, I was under a lot of attack too with fear, because if it's a kidney infection, obviously things could get really bad. But that's the bad report. The good report is they found nothing. The first night there, they just, you know, they said, hey, if it gets worse, come on back. And it got worse. So I came back and they did some scans. And some of the radiologists thought that things were not looking good. The others were not sure. So they sent me to the doctor this morning, and I went to see him, and he said, I'm so sorry that you have to go through all this. But he said, everything looks fine. He said, you have no infection. He doesn't expect anything to get worse. He said, the pain is from, because I had such a complicated C-section, all the healing is causing, there was a slight infection, but it wasn't a big one. And the irritation is causing my bladder to spasm in process of healing, and it's causing great pain where I couldn't walk on my right side and all that stuff. So at the end of the day, there is no suspected kidney infection. There's no other infections traveling through my body. The scans came back clean. Everything looks good. And I'm just praising the Lord that the little bit that he took me through is already healed in Jesus' name, and that the healing is going to continue to manifest itself quickly. And I'm going to be back on my feet before I know it. And also that the Lord released my husband from working this week. So it's been a great help. The ERs were definitely a motivation factor for that. The Lord's been taking his time in the healing and the recovery of this particular C-section, but he's been showing his hand mightily, and we're just grateful because we have a lot to be praising him for. And we just, at every trial, we have a lot to turn to him for, and it's drawn us closer, and we're just praising him and thanking him.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Is that Maximus out there trying to love on Gabriel? Hey, buddy. Oh, my. Oh, my. We're out of time. Whew. All right. Thursday night is choir night. It's singing time. So I guess we'll have praise Thursday night, or whatever God wants to put on our hearts. We'll do whatever he wants, right? Lord, I just thank you so much for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Lord, for placing that boldness in us, Lord, to walk like you and to talk like you and to talk and to act like you, Lord. That when we come across people that are hurting, that we would offer you as a healing power and a saving power. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you get us ready for this great time ahead. And I'm asking you, Father, to bring the man child on. We need that wisdom. We need that provision. We need that all of that you give him, Lord. In Jesus' name, we know that he's going to bring us into the wilderness, not in a sickly fashion either. We're walking into the wilderness with nothing wrong with us in Jesus' name. And not only that, everything about us is going to be held up, healed, delivered, and set free for the remaining of the wilderness. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless all of my people, all of my brothers and sisters, all of my going to be brothers and sisters here shortly, because they're coming into the kingdom. And I thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that every prayer that was spoken tonight has been answered in Jesus' name. Bless Rion and Claire while they're on vacation. Give them some rest, Lord, and some good time with their family, and just bless them, Lord. and everybody else. Bless David with wisdom as to what to do in his job. Bless Pat with wisdom into what to do with his, Lord, what you want him to do. And that'll be great, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?